Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on PBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this July the 21st on the West Coast, now July the 22nd on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those listening in around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on BlogTalkRadio.com. Well, we've had some interesting shows this week. I, myself, and Dr. A. Truat, not necessarily in that order, have been independently looking at what's going on with this Gulf of Mexico incident. And there were some videos coming out showing tremendous devastation. This is to ramp up the fear level. And I've concluded that such videos are intended to make people feel sympathetic, to get us set up like sitting ducks for this carbon credits, which will precede cap and trade. And so you have to ask yourself when you're seeing these videos, ladies and gentlemen, that what it is you're seeing, really. You're seeing images, but how is it if the airspace has been sealed, cordoned off over the Gulf of Mexico? How are people getting pictures from the air? Is BP supplying these photos to these producers of certain YouTube video movies? Now, they're basically parroting what we've said in the beginning, although we've also seen that there's been a lot of deception going on. And so we've been reporting the facts behind the scenes, the financial manipulations. And the people in Washington are from the group in Chicago, and they're all involved in the same scams and schemes. And I've gone down several independent paths from the ones that Dr. Ott has looked at, and yet they all converge on Chicago, New York, London, Germany, Switzerland, and Washington, D.C. And you can throw Russia and Israel in there as well, because they're all involved. This is an orchestrated event that's designed to do just what it's doing. The major damage is from the CoreXit 9500 dispersant made by Nalco, owned by BP and Exxon. They're making money regardless of what they do. They're making money. And there's a lot of money being made on computer screens around the world. This was set up. There is documentation that backs it up. We're going to be having that information, hopefully, by the weekend at the latest. It's phenomenal how much information we're both coming up with, and yet we're not the insiders. We're not privy to this like those who are doing it. We have a right to know what's going on. We have an oil company that's taken over our country, and we could go deeper. In fact, we're going to spend a little time talking about the mindset of people. We've alluded on last night's show with Christopher Holmes, PhD. He's not really a doctor, but he has a doctorate, if that makes sense. That's the educational system. Christopher Holmes was speaking about the heart, the importance of the heart, and getting higher information, higher consciousness in through the pathway to the soul, and that is through the heart. The heart pumps your life's blood. Without a heart, you die. And certainly with a closed heart, you're going to operate from the head. Now, when you take a person whose heart has been closed off, desensitized, and not in communication with the creator of the universe, what you end up having then is a blockage of energy or energy flow. You're shown images. You're told you have to look a certain way, dress a certain way, think a certain way, feel a certain way, and act a certain way And this is drilled into your subconscious mind and into your consciousness 24/7. And when we produce kids through the school system that answer questions, like something I'm going to play for you in a moment here, then we must wonder. Now, some have been calling for the days of old, and I actually have a short clip that I'm going to play from a young lady who ran for the Miss Teen USA contest a few years ago. And then I'm going to play an excerpt of a lady that had to have been at least 90 when these clips were made. She was known as the Fruitcake Lady on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And I want you to hear the wisdom and the ability to think on the spot. We're talking about a girl that was in the beauty contest that was, I don't know her exact age, but let's say she was somewhere between 18 and 20 years old, probably. Should have been bright and on her feet. She's definitely pretty. She's in a beauty contest. That's one of the prerequisites. When you ask a simple question like, why can't Americans read maps? Why do so many people find it difficult to locate a country or other countries in the world on maps? What are they being taught in school when they learn history or geography? Do they really learn that, or is it just memorizing things that they want us to know? I'm going to play a short clip for you, and then I'm going to bring on tonight's guest, and then I'm going to play a second clip because I'm going to ask him to comment on that. Actually, both clips. First clip, this is the former Miss South Carolina in the Miss Teen USA beauty pageant a few years ago.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Now, I don't know how much sense that made to you. I played this clip on this show a good year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. Sounds like this young lady had been listening to a lot of TV evangelists. Some TV evangelists. How can anyone be so shaken by such a simple question, you must ask yourself. And here, the question was asked of a person that couldn't even answer it in her language. She couldn't even complete a full sentence. This is the result of our educational system. And in a moment, after I bring on tonight's guest, we are going to listen to someone quite a bit older in age, but I think much younger and full of life, full of light, vigor, and vim. But first, I'm going to bring a guest that's full of light and life and vigor and vim. He's a regular on Evident Footprints. He's a health scientist, also a former chemist, an herbalist, and a musician, along with being a historian as well. My good friend, Michael Anthony. Michael, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thank you. Great to be back.
Nice to have you back. I know you've heard that clip before. You probably heard it 1,000 times, but it bears repeating when we're talking about consciousness. And I think the young people today, let's say over the last 10 years especially, in the school system, those that have graduated or are moving up in the school system really aren't learning the fundamentals of thought and really, I think, history, math. There we have an example of geography. It's a geographical question, one related to education. And certainly, her inability to respond to the question shows the destitute nature of the educational system by design. And do you have any comment on that?
Well, Don, I think you summed it up quite well. For sure, the education system is devoid of any kind of ability of actually educating these kids today. Of course, I think it's more of de-educating the kids. They get the kids to focus on, of course, themselves, little things, no real emphasis on history or mathematics or sciences, Don. It's all on trivia and social, because that's really what they're doing, is they're socially engineering these kids today to be dumb, unfortunately. And then you have a girl like this, attractive girl, and therefore probably always taught to focus on her physicality rather than her intellect. And sadly, very sadly, because of electronics today, these games and things like that, kids don't read. You know, I'm sure these kids don't have any form of collection of books. I mean, at least kids used to have comic books when they were real young. Those were the those were the first books usually kids would get. But they were reading, even though it was just comic books, but they were reading, stimulating the imagination somehow, because that's what reading really does. So we're looking at, I think, a symptom of all of these causes. And here's the result. Just kids that don't even know how to answer a simple question without sounding like they really don't have a clue about anything.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not like we're trying to make fun here. I think we're just underscoring what has occurred. Now, we talked about consciousness last night. Michael, I don't know if you got to hear the show, but we talked about the illusions and the lies and the fear. Obviously, this girl was shaking with fear, at least on the inside. Because
what's very strange is that you think they would have prepped her for these questions, because these questions are already planned prior. And you think they would make sure they prep everyone so that they wouldn't get stuck like that and look like a buffoon on camera and in public. And I'm not making fun of the poor girl. She's merely just a product of her environment. And and unfortunately, she hasn't developed. She's a young kid. So she hasn't, at that stage of her life, developed any real sense of identity enough where it's going to propel her to pursue knowledge on her own.
But it underscores something that's going on here, too, is that image is more important than intellect.
Yes, physical. Physical.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, the physical image of a person is more important than what's inside them.
Absolutely. That is definitely part of the problem here. They're teaching kids to be caught up with themselves just physically, never stimulating their intellect at all. They'll play on their emotions all the time, but never stimulating the intellect center. And that is really sad. And, you know, these kids are our future, of course. This is what's so sad about it all. These kids one day are going to be the future of this country. And they know that, and they've managed to, unfortunately, dumb them down to this extent where they know. Once these kids become the main the current population of this country with that intellectual level or capacity, they're going to roll right over.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to play a clip which, if you were going to ask a 90-year-old person a question, I guess you would really want to ask a life question, and in their own way. Keep in mind now that the people that are asking the fruitcake lady, this is an elderly lady that was living in Florida at the time this was recorded. They had a camera there in her home and a microphone, and she would respond to the questions that were coming over her TV screen from the people near the studio in Los Angeles. So this was taped in the afternoon in Los Angeles and in Florida. And this lady, who was at least 90 years old at the time of this recording, responded, just listen to the intellect, okay? They say when you're old, you slow down, you can't think, you're forgetful. Well,
those darn old people.
You know, that may be true in a lot of ways because of all the toxic poisoning that people are going through. This is one spry young lady, we'll say, okay? The fruitcake lady.
Yep, that's good to hear.
Hi, my name is Leah Schuss. I'm from Wisconsin. I just turned 18, and I'll be voting for my first time in November. I was wondering if you had any advice. How do I vote?
How do you vote? Oh, my God, woman, you mean you're asking somebody in Florida how to vote? Good day in the morning.
Hi, I'm calling from New Jersey. My husband's always complaining about working so hard. How do I get him off the couch to mow the lawn?
Why can't you mow the lawn? Do you have a riding lawnmower? If you have a riding lawnmower, there's no problem. And you can certainly get your fat ass on that and do that.
Hi, my name is Tiffany. I'm from Colorado. My boyfriend always has his hands down his pants while we're watching TV. How do I get him to stop?
God. Well, what does he think? He's going to run away or something? He's got to hold on to it. I don't know. There's something wrong with him. Nobody's going up and steal it from him.
I'm Matt from Fullerton, California, and my question is, how many gingerbread men can I fit in my mouth at once?
Now, you know, if that is not the guy, you know something? You really make me mad when you come with me a question like that. You put... I don't care. Just clean up your ass as far as I'm concerned. Never heard anything so good.
Hi, my name's Lindsay Miller. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. When a man has a lot of sex partners, he's called a sub. But what do you call a woman with a lot of partners?
She's a whore.
Hey, my name is Lynn, and I'm from Moultrie, Georgia. I hate the black spot in Jay's hair. I think he should dye it. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know why Jay Leno looks good the way he is now. Because Jay Leno is not good looking. Well, he doesn't have a good body. He has no butt at all. He has no butt. He's flat as a flitter.
My name is Lindsay Falco, and I'm from Portico, California. And I would like to know what advice you can give to newlyweds to achieve a happy, successful marriage.
The advice I would give newlyweds is never go to bed mad at each other. That's the most important thing. And another important thing is to always, the woman should always keep herself clean and attractive in every sense of the word. Keep yourself clean. Keep Miss Puss clean all the time. Inside and out. Put on your best gown, get a little perfume on you, crawl in that bed, and I guarantee you, Miss Puss will have a time of her life.
Hello, I'm Mary Rooney from Boston. Now that you're on TV and a role model for youngsters, don't you think you should stop using bad language?
Hell no.
Well, there you have it. That's a clip from Ask the Fruitcake Lady. You see the wit that this lady had? You see how quickly...
She's spunky, that's for sure. Yes, Dan. Yeah. Very spunky. She's got quite a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Don, the thing is with the old people today, that they're trying to get the kids and people to view old people as non-essential, played out, shot, worthless, ultimately. And that's what's really unacceptable, because the older people have great experiences with life itself, and there's always something to learn from them. And This lady is, you know, really, I mean, obviously very spunky and a character of a lady. I wish she was a little more civil, being out in the public like that. Of course, had a good example to the kids and stuff, a better example. And but nonetheless, she's spunky, and you have to admire that.
Well, she's paid her dues. She has a right to become cantankerous.
Cantankerous especially. Is fine, absolutely. Yeah. But, I mean, some things you got to just, you know that kids, you have to set a good example for kids. You know, like just the swearing alone. I mean, when I see kids swearing, I always tell them, I said, hey, listen, guys, I know you think it's cool, but it's not cool. But you think it's cool because all the adults do it, and you're mimicking them, but it's not cool. And that's the problem, you see. The kids are just a product of their environment. And how are you going to have sharp, razor-sharp kids with nice dispositions and all the positive attributes that we want from the kids and hope to expect from the kids so that our country has a future? How are we going to really get that or expect that when the environment isn't providing that?
Mm-hmm.
And the seniors, the older people, generally should always be setting a good example for the kids, because the kids, of course, are, what are they, nothing more than really a parrot mimicking environment.
Yeah, I lost your audio for a second there, Michael.
Okay, Don. Well, I was just saying, you know, kids ultimately are parrots. They mimic everything around them. If the parents are smoking cigarettes, kids will be smoking cigarettes. Parents are drinking, kids will be drinking. Because that's what we do as kids. We mimic everything around us. We figure that's how it is. That's the way it's supposed to be. If our parents are smoking, must be good, must be cool, we'll be smoking. And so, you know, this is so obvious. And yet our school system acts like there's no correlation.
Mm-hmm.
And our whole society today acts like there's no correlation what they expose these kids today through media, TV, movies, etc. And that's what's very disturbing and disappointing, because the kids are just potentials like everything else, a great potential. But if we don't take that potential and utilize it correctly, nurture it properly, then we're not going to get any great result from it.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I was listening to DB Kid a couple of days ago, and she was doing a report on a situation that's I'm not sure what town it is. She may have mentioned the town, but I heard her say Montana. She's talking about a program that's going, notice it's a program, right? To teach kindergartners from kindergarten all the way through high school sex education.
There you go.
And they're going to start at kindergarten level. And who knows, this will probably be a head start if it's not already, okay?
Right.
Which is a scam in and of itself anyway.
Sure.
The kindergartners are going to be taught things about the various types of sex that homosexuals engage in. In other words, they're not going to make this choice when they're of an adult age.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to indoctrinate them. That's what
and condition
is.
Them already.
Indoctrination.
That's, yep, conditioning. So that by the time the kids, and of course, all of this material that you mentioned that they want to expose the kids to at that age, it's beyond their comprehension. You know, how the hell can anybody with some sense of sanity expect that what you're exposing these kids to is something they can rationalize? You can't, but they're going to condition them.
Oh, yeah.
So by the time they can.
It's preparation
for
pedophilia.
Exactly, Don. Absolutely. For not just pedophilia, Don, but prostitution. Girls are just pieces of meat. Just work on your looks, girls. That's all that matters to you. Hook them with your looks. Dress like a street hooker. Act like a street hooker. Let them call you. What do these guys call girls today, especially in the ghetto areas? All kinds of terrible, you know, derogatory terms to keep the girls at a level of where they're inferior. Inferior, Don, instead of, and no respect, instead of teaching them to be respectful all the time. mm-hmm. towards girls, and it's just the opposite. It's disgusting. But, of course, this is all part of the Rockefeller or the Crockefeller agenda by these controllers of the international financing that run all the governments in the world with their U.N. agenda, dumbing us all down. It's all just a plot to dumb everything down to the point where the culture has nothing to stand on. If God himself doesn't just wipe us out because we're useless to him and we're void of any kind of something that's redeemable in his sight, if he doesn't wipe us out because of that, they'll just roll right over us at that point because we'll be a bunch of morons not knowing anything. We'll be a bunch of slaves at that point, easily enslaved, and that's what the agenda's all about, Don. No middle class, no intellect. Just a bunch of peons. Most of the girls will be tramps, just pieces of meat. Kids, unfortunately, won't have any kind of innocence that they should have. And then sick people will remain in control, and hell will just run amok if they can continue on with this. The school system is their main method of establishing this, and obviously, here you have it. Now, what kind of parent, if I had kids in kindergarten and they're exposing them to this, or even up to 7th, 8th grade, 10th grade, I would never tolerate it.
What about law enforcement? I mean,
yeah, where are they? That's right.
Doesn't that that county have a sheriff that should be looking into this?
Isn't this kind of like porno here? Like you say, this is pedophilia and porno. I mean, what else do you call it when you're exposing kids to this?
Yeah, I heard DV talk about this, and she went into some detail as to the curriculum for this course, what they were going to be teaching.
Right.
And I think she was as taken aback by the lack of concern by many of the parents there.
That's right, Don. This is how bad it is. Now, the parents, they aren't even involved with their own kids, Don. I see it all. You know, like, I don't personally see it, but I know people that are around it all the time when I talk with them. And some that are teachers, for example, and at kindergarten or around that age bracket. And they're just fill-in teachers, you know, for assistant teaching, things like that today. It's that bad in the school system. They need assistance to assistants because they're all so lame. But there are those that care, and they're good. And when, like, I was talking to this one lady, and I said, don't you see how it's so common today everywhere throughout these families where the kids get dropped off at school and then they get picked up. And in between, the parents don't care. They're so hung up on their own lives still. They don't really care about their own kids. That's how bad it is.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to take – I just had a flash here, and I have to
But there are
listen to that inner voice, okay?
Yeah, and I'm not knocking. You know, there are good parents that care and are trying their best.
Of course,
that's right. But it's not as normal and frequent as it used to be. That's for sure. And they do tolerate all this crap being that their kids are exposed to in this school system, and that is baffling.
Yeah, and, you know, even in my community, I talk to some young people. I see young people out and when I'm out and about, and I know their parents or their neighbors, and you ask them how school's going, and they start telling you what's going on in school. Let me tell you, they're knowledgeable about the corruption that's going on. They question things they see with the school board and how
that's
these people run the show, so to speak, that they
That's
don't
right.
want to take responsibility and head the organization. They want to, and I've heard these meetings. They televise the meetings on public access.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you see them trying to maintain this managerial pyramid by telling the mother who's gone to a coach or gone to a band director and gone to this supervisor or the gym instructor or whoever, and they have legitimate complaints that practices start late or rehearsals start late, and they're held over way beyond what the schedule allows, and they're not getting results. They're waiting a year and a half. And they go to the school board, and the head of the school board says, well, you know, I prefer you approach this from the chain of command. You know, it's ridiculous. Nobody wants to take responsibility for what's happening, and people are very frustrated. Now, on a national level, and I played this clip before. You may have heard it, but it bears playing. After we heard this young lady from the beauty contest, then we heard the fruitcake lady answer some very ridiculous questions. But I have to say, she's the smartest one I've seen. She's a reflection on somebody that contributed to the welfare of this country.
That's right.
And I don't mean the welfare program. I mean, she was a nation builder. You can hear it in her voice. You can also hear, you know, that she has a heart, that she has feelings, and she has an intelligence that's beyond.
She has understanding. Yep.
Yes.
She clearly shows that she must have worked harder, you know, her whole life, and did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the caliber that makes a country great.
Yeah. Now, if you could see her face while she's answering these questions, she looks almost tormented by the questions that she's being asked.
Yeah.
You know, sure. Like she's fed up with everything, you see?
Right.
So that comes across, you see?
Yeah.
But she's hilarious because her answers are very honest.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Very spunky.
Now, this is what's happening on a Washington, D.C. level, and I've played this a few times on the show. But it's a reminder. You wonder why things are the way they are in the Gulf of Mexico. You wonder why the world is at war, or things are so disorganized from one agency to another, and they have thousands of agencies working on spying on Americans, and our military is overseas.
Oh, Don, they're really protecting our freedom, Don. That's what they're working on.
Yeah. And this is the mentality of the people that make the laws in this country. Listen to this.
Now, this is a island that at its widest level is, 12 miles from shore to shore? And at its smallest level location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently about 175,000, and again, with 8,000 Marines and their families, it's an addition of about 25,000 more into the population.
And also things like the environment, the sensitive areas of the environment, coral reefs and those kinds of things. And I know that, you know, lots of people don't like to think about that, but, you know, we didn't think about global warming either. And now we do have to think about it. And so I'm concerned from an environmental standpoint whether or not Guam is the best place to do this relocation, but it's actually the only place. Is that correct?
This is the best place. This is the farthest west U.S. territory that we own. And, this is part of our nation. And in readdressing the forward presence and posture importance, to Pacific Command. Guam is vital to this decision.
I ask myself.
I know. That's Obama without a teleprompter, isn't it?
You know, if you didn't hear the word Guam, you would think he was talking about the Gulf of Mexico when he said tip over and capsize, or when he said coral reefs, or the environment. You see, why isn't that concern foremost right now? Why was that months before this thing was announced?
Absolutely, Don. Why is the public being kept in the dark, as you were saying earlier in the show? And obviously, there's a lot going on that they don't want us to know about. But I've seen enough now with the photographs that with all this chemical dispersant and toxic exposure just from that, the oil is extensive. The damage just from the oil is unprecedented. It's very, it'll rip your heart right out of your chest when you see the photos. And I'm going to be sending some out along email just so everybody can come up to speed with what we are able to see with what happened down there. And it's really, Don, I mean, it hurts. It really does. It's extensive damage.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it. It's
the point we need to underscore, Michael, is that this isn't an accident. This was done on purpose.
Totally intentional.
The infrastructure is there for this to have occurred on purpose. All of the scientific evidence, other than what we can't see at the bottom of the ocean, we certainly can look at the seven or eight different wellhead configurations we've seen. Obviously, we've seen them show us a representation of an oil wellhead that was in an aquarium tank. In a room where the guy opens up the door and you see him standing there behind the plume.
It sure looks like that, or it's a reflection off a camera lens somehow. How do you explain that one if it's down at the bottom of the ocean there? So, yeah, Don, very questionable there. But no question about the damage, the extensive environmental damage, clearly an act of terrorism against the United States and the American people by a foreign entity.
With the cooperation of those in power, by the way.
In our government.
Yes.
Absolutely.
With
total
cooperation.
That's right.
Yes.
Totally complicit. And they're getting away with it again, of course, so far. Not enough outrage from the American public over this. But clearly a blatant act of terrorism, no question about it.
Now, tonight, the only person that I've heard, other than you, I'm talking about on these clips, these three clips that I played, that is capable of handling a situation like that is the lady known as the Fruitcake Lady in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
She has the mind, she has the spirit to be concerned about something like that. All we have here is massive financial fraud. Massive financial fraud. And the same names keep cropping up.
All the time.
Now, this is the Chicago mob running the show on this one.
The guys that don't know anything, they never met each other. Just a brief acquaintance.
And most of those people aren't from here either. That's another interesting thing.
It truly.
You hear the short-legged Mac Daddy was asked how many times he had seen Rod Blagojevich, the former governor.
Right.
And he said once.
Yeah,
and
just once.
And there were seven pictures.
That's right, Don.
In one,
it's hilarious.
In one expose, seven different pictures at seven different times in seven different places.
Totally different situations. And clearly the photos show these guys are chummy. They're not just off in a distance, happen to be in the same, area when the photograph was taken. These guys are right next to each other rubbing elbows.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, shaking hands, leaning over, whispering in each other's ears.
That's right. That's right. Good buddies. But only met them as a brief acquaintance, even though all these photographs show these guys are hanging out partying.
Oh, sure.
And they get away with it. And the other beauty of this, Don, is the lame media. supposedly they're out there uncovering, investigating, and telling us what's going on, bringing us the news. And yet, as they report, well, Obama's just a brief acquaintance. They really never knew each other. And yet, hey, you idiots, can any of you come up with these photographs that we all have showing that they're buddies hanging out all the time?
Yeah.
And that they just lied?
Yes. Now, there's a new phenomenon. It's actually been going on for a while. They started this during the last election. They take a blackboard or some sort of chalkboard or whiteboard or a magnetic board, and they put it up in front of the camera, and then they have one or two specialists. These are talking point spinmeisters that go up there, and they tell you, well, in this district, the percentages are this many percentile in favor of this candidate. Doesn't matter if the candidate is legitimate or not, or eligible or not. They're just giving us the numbers. They're brainwashing us with all these polls, which are weapons of Tavistock, the Tavistock mm-hmm. Institute for Human Studies. And so people are, how is the average person supposed to react when they see, well, the poll says 88%. You don't have people that can count up to 100, let alone understand what a percentile is. So why are they doing this? Well, they're standing at these boards, and they're doing this on ESPN, by the way. A lot of the TV evangelists do this. They scribble up on the board while they're, you know, while God's talking to them. They're scribbling up on this board. And they're doing this on ESPN. They're doing this for trades. They're doing this to predict the outcome of games or to analyze games. They're all parroting the same thing now. So you have it on the news. You have it on whether it's local news or world reports or if it's even a card game. They've turned playing poker. I've said this several years ago already. They turn playing poker into a sport, and they're calling the people who are playing cards athletes. How much?
Well, that's just a sign of advanced civilization there, Don.
and people accept this. You know, they say, oh, well, you know, it's very trying to sit there and guess what the next card's going to be. Yeah.
It takes a lot of training, Don.
It's amazing.
A lot of dedication and training, sweat, hard work, a lot of hard work there.
So they're making games of chance, with a deck of cards.
That's right.
And some poker chips. A sport. And they've got not one commentator, they've got two commentators telling you what has to happen or what's going to happen. These people are smart.
Is he bluffing? Do you think he's holding there, or what do you think? It's pretty sad, Don.
I read some clips from, some text clips, we'll say, the transcripts of some TV shows where a woman had a couple of questions. She had three objects and a question of the four. The show was, are you smarter than a fifth grader? This was a teacher.
Wow.
This was a teacher.
Boy.
And the question was, what is the largest of the following objects?
And oh, yes. Yeah.
It was a peanut, the moon, an elephant, and what, are you crazy? Some question like that, off the wall, had nothing to do with it. Well, mm-hmm. D, you could take out. Peanut, I think you could take out, right?
Wasn't one of the moon or a planet in that one as well?
That was a moon. So would you assume that an animal on the Earth is probably smaller than a celestial body out in space? How
difficult. For the teachers, Don. That's a challenge for them.
She had to call a friend. She had to, what do they call them?
Use her lifeline there. Yeah.
A lifeline, okay. And she...
Big decision.
She calls a friend that wasn't the fifth grader show. That was a totally different event. This was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I apologize. Mm-hmm. I don't want Jeff Foxworthy to get mad about that one. But this was a teacher, And she called a friend to use her lifeline, and then the friend told her right away, the moon is the largest. And she, are you sure?
Don, that was very difficult to believe. That wasn't staged. And she's a teacher on top of it? Holy man, yeah, we're hurting.
Yeah. Now you have to ask yourself, this is, and you're using your discernment, you see. She actually, on the first one, she used the 50-50, where they take two of the answers out. Okay?
Right.
Two of the incorrect answers. So
narrowing it down.
They took the peanut and the question out. Okay? I don't know if you can really measure a question, how large it is, but. So then she made the call. The second one, she made the call. And she's arguing with the person she called, okay?
It's stunning.
And then she didn't make her mind up. She blew the 30 seconds that she had for the call. And then she went another step and used a lifeline by asking the audience to vote. 98% of the people said it was the moon.
Now, only 98%. There
I don't
was
know
a 2%
how many people
out there.
in the audience, but there were one or two people that got
They were her students, the other 2%. There to support their teacher.
Yeah. But, or it could have been the school board. You know?
Yeah, or the school board. There you go.
But even after all of that, she went and said elephant. After, I mean, where... That's
You she know, was breaking the sweat trying to figure that one out, too, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even Meredith Vieira lost it. I don't know why I thought. Well, I saw another teacher on an episode. Somebody had sent me, like, a little clip on this thing where it was a really simple question. It was, like, second or third grade type of question, history question. I don't remember what it was, but it was something about a country. And this woman, you know, is France a country? I didn't think France was a country. Is it really a country?
Mm-hmm.
I think the name of that clip was, Is America a Country? Something like that. So these are the extremes. Now, they put this on television. Now, what is the impact? Oh, people laugh. Yeah, in a sense, it's funny, but it's sad, too. If it's a spoof...
Very sad, Don.
Yeah, if
this
it's
is
a spoof,
where we're at.
Then we should be able to laugh. But we kind of know when it's a spoof.
Right.
I just can't imagine anybody losing it that much. Or, you know, we have this saying, the lights are on, but nobody's home.
Right.
I think in that case, it's not... There's no lights... There's no home.
Yeah. Yep, there's not even any lights or home. It's a very sad testimony to where we are today. Obviously, the educational system is really a de-educational system. And the public fool system, so forth, all those terminologies, very appropriate for what they're all about, what their mission is, to make us dumber than ever. And then, you know, years ago, I mean, just 10 years ago, 20 years ago even, I remember a couple instances where I would hear how big corporations, they need to go abroad for the workforce pool because they're just not finding the caliber here in the United States that they need to hire. Right? Well, geez, I wonder why that is. Just go to the public school system and you'll see why the kids aren't coming out up to speed to qualify for these jobs today that these big corporations are offering.
Or even many colleges, you know.
Yeah, colleges too, but it's all by design.
Yeah.
So that they can justify, we have to import a bunch of foreigners because American kids are too stupid. And so therefore now it advances their agenda to, let's keep bringing in foreigners, keep bringing in foreigners. And at the same time, nobody's saying, hey, the school system is obviously at fault here. And those that do, they say, well, we got to put more money. We need more money. That's the problem. We don't have enough money in our school system. Yeah, right. Well, if your superintendent is making 200 grand a year and all he does is sit on his fat duff all week long, I would like to hang out with any, like, around here they make $200,000 on average. School superintendents. $200,000 a year. I like to hang around with them for a week. Just watch them sweat and work hard for that $200,000 from the taxpayer, the producers, that are paying these non-producers such lucrative salaries and offering such lucrative jobs. That these clowns could never go out into the private sector and say, well, I'm used to making $200,000 a year and that's what I'm expecting. You think anybody in the private sector is going to hire them for that salary? Absolutely not. I bet they won't even hire them for $100,000. They're not even worth that. They couldn't offer anything to deserve $100,000 a year. But this is all part of our dilemma here. Everything's upside down.
Yeah. A number of years ago, I considered doing a concert, a local concert, and donating the proceeds to the music program at my alma mater, you know, my high school where I graduated. And the principal was having a nervous breakdown.
Over
no, handing
no
out
coffee available?
Some of his, you know, some of his people, like people in the band committee, the boosters, you know. He didn't want to give these tickets to the boosters to say, hey, you know, sell some tickets for this concert. This money's going to be donated to the band program.
He didn't want to support that effort?
Oh, he was a basket case. And Michael, school had been out already for 6 weeks. He was still working in his office, you know, mm-hmm. sipping a cup of coffee, reading the newspaper.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The secretary was out front. You know,
right.
He was losing it. He was having a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, he's in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. You know, we cannot expect to allow a non-productive entity, which is the school system, to set the financial costs that they want to have from us. And dictate to us, this is how much we're going to make, this is how much you have to pay us, and here's the curriculum, this is what you're going to have to accept, this is what we're going to teach your kids. That is backwards. We have to tell them, look, we don't want, like here now down in the high school that I graduated from, I learned that they have three principals, not just one. Geez, when we went to school, one principal and one assistant vice principal. As a vice principal, that's all we had. They handled and managed everything fine. No problem at all. But today, no. Well, we need one principal for discipline. We need another principal for whatever the BS line is. And they got three. And they're all making good money. Real good money. At least 70, 80 grand a year doing nothing. And they have summer off. We're all in the wrong career business. We should have went working for the government where there's no competition and you can get paid as much as you want doing nothing. Without competition, you'll never have success. There always has to be competition. And in the government businesses, which shouldn't be even in existence, the government has no business being in business. Therefore, this is the mess we get into. The producers are destroyed. There's a proliferation of non-producers because the government's so out of control, getting so big, all its employers that it's, all the people it's employing, and they're all non-producers because the government doesn't make anything that generates a real profit.
No, but they
stimulate the economy.
They pass levies and they get that income, and that income is taken and it's played on Wall Street, you see. That's why they get the salaries, to shut their mouths about where the money is going.
That's all going on.
Paying them that money.
Sure, sure, Dan. That's all going on. I mean, they all keep their mouths shut because they all know they're skating along, ripping off the taxpayer, getting away with a beautiful salary with no real, you know, job, with responsibility, where there's pressure, where there's competition. If I don't do this right, I could get fired. If I screw this up, you know, my company, I'm going to hurt the company's product here, and therefore my future in this company won't be looking too bright unless I, correct and make good on a bad call that I did. And they don't, none of that exists. There's no pressure. There's no competition. It's disgusting. There shouldn't be public schools. We covered this in the past. Everything should be in a private sector the way it used to be. In this country, there were no public schools. So in the 1900s, you had community school systems. That was more like homeschooling of today than the way the public schools operate today. And
Everything that was done privately, you know, the mothers that homeschool or fathers that homeschool their children get arrested. The midwives that deliver babies in the most holistic manner and usually healthier babies and then are delivered in hospitals are arrested.
Really? They're arresting them too, huh?
Oh, yeah. This has been going on for years.
Wow, because I haven't heard of that one. No, I know somebody that had all their kids that way and they never had problems with the midwifing.
This is a much more frequent problem, especially in the state of California.
Yeah, no surprise, though. That's right, Don. They're anti-family, these dirtbags. Very anti-family. Promoting homosexuality and all that crap, all that nonsense. That's anti-family. That's our whole government is full of homos, lesbos, faggots. Bush, GW, Barry, Boy, Satoro, Hillary, Janet Reno, Condoleezza Rice, Barney Frank, Lindsey Graham, just off the top of the list. Janet Napolitano, head of Homeland Insecurity, Zeke Heil, former governor of Arizona. Our country's in the hands of a bunch of people that are unstable mentally. They never have been able to resolve their sexual nature and their role in God's natural order. They're very deviant when it comes to that. They can't make a rational decision about their role in creation sexually. And yet, we expect them to make rational decisions on the welfare of our country and us as individuals. There's a major disconnect of rational thought right there, the rational thought process. And this is exactly what we have.
Well, this is part of the reason why they have an obsession with digitizing information and computers, because they don't have the capacity to make decisions or sound decisions.
They really don't. They're dictated. Everything they tell us, as if they came up with the idea, obviously they're dictated all of that by the controllers that allow them to stay in that position because they're perfect puppets. Perfect puppets. No soul, no integrity, no honor.
Mm-hmm.
Just the easy, cushy living of a good, high-paid salary job, no pressure, no real work, easy living. They're looking for the easy way through life, and they all end up losers.
They're sort of like the ringmaster at the Ringling Brothers Circus,
mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yeah, sure. That's a good analogy.
They just make an announcement and pretend to really be concerned.
Right. They go through the motions like it's a real show. Like they're really working on something. Something, it's very important. Their activities, very important. Really. Yeah, so essential for our country's well-being. And it's all a facade. It's all a joke. They're a bunch of losers. And that's why without competition, this is the mess we get in. Keep everything in the private sector where you have competition. Here's a school that wants your kids. And here's another school that wants your kids. And they all have their own costs that you'll have to pay for your kids to go there. Which school is going to provide your kids with the best environment to make your kids as sharp as possible so that when they graduate, you're proud of your kids, that they have their head, their intellect center, their mind set straight, and it's filled with real knowledge that's going to benefit them throughout their lives and which will therefore come back to benefit our country. And therefore now, with that competition, we have options. We have choices. And that better school is the one that's going to get most of the kids. And the other school that's not quite as good, well, if they want to continue staying in business, they're going to have to improve. Until they can get the people to say, look how good Look at the results that we're getting from our kids in that school now. They're just as good, or now they're better. And that's what competition's all about.
Well,
and without it, we'll never really advance the cause of civilization again in our country.
In a sense, that's very true. But who's going to be the judge of what the quality of the education is, you see?
Because you keep it focused on real education, which is reading,
writing, and
sciences.
But those that are in power right now, I'm trying to make a point here. Those that are in power here are already in the position to make the right decision. But instead, they make psychopathic decisions while telling us how much they care about our children's future.
Well, that's right, Don, but that's our mistake. Those that are in power that you just referred to, they should never have those positions of power. That shouldn't even exist.
Obviously.
Right. Why are we allowing them to mandate decision making, you know, when that's our responsibility? And there's the problem. We have to cut them right out. Cut them right out. Pull the money out. Pull that plug. There shouldn't be any property tax. People with property, all property owners, there should be no tax generated from those people to support their local school system. You know, like here, Don, another example. A couple years ago, maybe in a local comedy rag of a newspaper that we get locally. And there it was on the headline where the teachers' union is trying to mandate to the school board that there can never be a cap on the property tax that they want to charge the property owners. There can never be a cap. There can never be a limit. The school will always have the right to set the amount of tax, the tax rate that should be imposed on the property owners. Instead of the property owners saying, look, we want to put a cap on the school district and their budget, that it can never exceed this amount, no matter what. And they'll have to figure out what they're going to have to do in order to keep the finances within those limits. And that means that, therefore, the pressure's on them. No more fat bureaucrats. A layer of lards that are all administrative.
Well, we have a republic.
Three principles and all that nonsense.
We have a republic that was founded on a constitution. Yet they go around the world and they tell us that they're going around the world promoting democracy.
Democracies, that's
which
right.
Which is a word for socialism and communism and Zionism.
Absolutely.
Call it what it is. Don't pretend that, you know, because where's democracy when we have crooked elections?
That's right.
We've seen in the last year and a half, 2 years, during this 2008 campaign, there were videos being taken of people voting at the same machine. There was one man that stood there for 20 minutes and voted 84 times in a primary. Okay.
And he got away with it.
He kept looking up like he was concerned somebody might be watching him. The camera was pointing right in his face.
You mean he voted 84 times right on that one spot? Well, of course, it'd be a lot trickier to keep going out, in and out 84 times.
This was in the state of Texas. Well, but stop and think. They gave him 84 ballots.
Or I was figuring he's pulling a lever in a booth, and no matter what it is, you think somebody say, what's taking you so long? You know, I mean, hello.
He was given 84 ballots, okay?
84 ballots.
So under whose name were those ballots, you see?
Right, Don. Right.
Under
and
whose
where
name?
Was the accountability to the person that gave him 84 ballots?
You'd have to find that out in Texas. That's where it occurred.
How come they're not in jail?
And it was a Ron Paul supporter who filmed this. This was a Democratic candidate that was I don't recall who it was, but
sure.
84 ballots in about 20 minutes.
I have to say that only because I can't stand racketeering and crooks and traitors. I have no tolerance for it. And that they get away with this.
Mm-hmm.
And the law enforcement totally negligent on its real duty here when there's obviously blatant criminal activity here. These are felonies.
Then we heard stories of people voting. They cast their first vote for president, then they went down and voted for vice president, or you know, the next position, whatever was on their ballot. And they looked up at the screen, something caught their eye, and their vote had changed to the other candidate.
Oh, yeah. I heard that one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they brought it
those
to the attention.
Computerized voting machines, right.
Yeah, you see. So when you have Israeli companies owning the voting machines, the electronic mm-hmm. voting machines, and can program it to respond sure. to any data that's put in it, can be converted to something else.
Absolutely. The programmer controls all that.
That's what they're doing on Wall Street right
Absolutely,
now.
Don. Absolutely. It's all a racket. It's all rigged. And now they're bringing it down to our level of politics. We're in our voting precincts and the voting booths and the voting machines. It's all rigged. And we can't accept it. We can't tolerate it. Around here, when they talk about new voting machines, they can't be computerized. We won't accept that. There always has to be a paper trail. And if they're trying to set up a system that there isn't a paper trail, then you get on their case fast and you say, "Wait, that's outrageous. Can't accept that." Only in a slave country, a communist country, do they operate like that.
Well,
but it's real bad. The corruption is so extensive now. And I know there's a lot of people out there that feel the weight of it all, and it's crushing and very discouraging and bleak. But this is how it happens when people just become irresponsible and no longer live with any sense of honor.
It's got to go.
That's right, Don. It's got to go now. We have to turn it around now and demand honest activity and accountability. When they screw up, you hold them accountable. You don't say, "Oh, well, oops, next time you'll get it right." No, not for things like this. You take them out to the woodshed, you teach them a good lesson, and then you also set an example for the next guy that's coming in that you're going to replace them with. And you let them know, "You work for us. This is how things are. You screw up, this is what happens to you." We don't tolerate that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
Yeah, it burns me up, I'll tell you. You know I want to hang them all, Don.
Well, we have a complicit media. In fact, the media is an exact reflection of the same educational system.
Sure. Well, just look again at the example with Blagojevich clown there. And, you know, that name sounds like mom's apple pie, just like Barack Hussein Obama does. And these guys, they claim, "Well, I really didn't know. We didn't know each other. And, you know, we're not really involved at all." And then here's all these photographs showing that the buddies partying. But the media never got that. They couldn't find that. With all their big bucks investigation and reporting and their infrastructure, and yet they couldn't find these photographs that we all have over, thank God for internet.
Their sole role is to put out propaganda, and that's
sure.
it.
And cover to, that up.
To build it up,
Don.
Something that everybody's craving.
Yes, and also cover up this stuff.
Yeah.
They covered all that up.
Yeah.
And then come along with the photographs, and you make them all look like a bunch of losers they are, because they can't even come up with these photographs, and they're big buck news reporters and investigators, supposedly.
Yeah.
And thank God for internet, because how much more evidence do we need to see that we're in the that controllers have created a system, an infrastructure that propagandizes everything to the public, to dumb us down, and to condition us so that we're even insensitive to when they're ripping us off and stabbing us in the back as traitors and betraying our country. And we tolerate it all, you know, and that they want to teach our kids sex and that homosexuality and all that crap is normal to kids in kindergarten now, but we're going to tolerate all that?
Well, it's obvious they don't even want consciousness to develop in children, you know.
Absolutely.
By the time
they're
teenagers or adults, that they're
right.
totally void of consciousness. And
that's right.
And believe me, there are many millions of people in this country who are already at that stage of all ages. They're totally unconscious. They don't have a clue who they are or what their life is about.
That's a fact, Don.
you know.
That is a sad fact. You see it every day now. You do.
Those aren't the people that are going to affect the change, though. It's the people that are awake.
That's right. That's right. And it's up to us to try to turn it all around in our own individual ways, in our own individual worlds. When I come across kids like this that you see are don't have a clue about reality, you know, I do what I can to try to, you know, work with them, to try to give them that little stimulus that they need to wake them up, to make them start to use their vision and their eyes so they can see, their ears so they can hear. And that's what we have to do. And never tolerate the school systems and all that, and try to crush it and get it to way back to way it's supposed to be. And it's a major challenge, of course, because look how far they got. These guys that are the controllers, and you know, mainly they're Israelis, no question about it. That's just the bottom line. Unfortunately, we're in the hands of foreigners, and most of them are operating from Israel.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of them are dual citizens. Now, when like Lieberman and the Emanuel brothers that work for Satoru. Now, when you have a dual citizenship, which country are you really loyal to? Is Lieberman really, as a dual citizen with Israel and the United States, is he really an American, or is he really an Israeli? Well, he's really an Israeli.
I haven't looked up dual citizenship in the Constitution, but I would venture to guess that you could be a dual citizen in this country, but not holding a public office.
Precisely. That's precisely correct, Don. And you can't have, you're not allowed to have any type of title and be in our government. Can't have any form of title. Lawyers weren't even allowed to be in our government. And now our government's run by lawyers.
And how many of them are secretly knighted by secret societies?
That's correct.
Right?
That's correct. Yeah. It's literally, when you start to realize all this, you will get the heebie-jeebies. And that's probably where the term comes from. And I'm not being, racist. I can't be racist because it's religion. They're not a race. And I'm not being anti-Semitic or anything. There's really good Jewish people, patriots, honest, and I welcome them as neighbors and friends and brothers and sisters, but all the crooks and all the foreign agents that are communist-oriented and global, United Nations-oriented, that's the enemy. And unfortunately, most of them are Jewish. And that's just how it is. They finance the Nazis. They finance the communists.
Well, I call them Zionists. I think they're pretend Jews. And yes, Semitics will tell you that, you know?
Well, yes, that's what we're told, that they aren't really true Jews. And I don't know how true that is, but they're Zionists. This type of Jew is a Zionist. And what is a Zionist? The Zionist, from all my observations, is not one that feels like, that they just need their own homeland. That's what they tell us it means. They tell us that as Zionists, all that means is that they just need, they want their own homeland for security. They feel secure. And but a Zionist is really a very arrogant dirtbag that believes that they're superior to everybody else. And therefore, they have no concerns or feelings for everyone else when they destroy their lives, they rip them off financially, or poison their foods and water supplies, or drag them out into foreign war conflicts to destroy their lives again. They have no regrets for that. They feel we are totally disposable. We're in their way. And that's what a Zionist is all about.
Well, you know, Zionism, by their definition, is a movement to reestablish the development and protection of a Jewish nation in what is now Israel.
That's what they tell us.
Established as a political organization. Well, what business do they have here in America, then?
That's right, Dad.
Other than to be parasites.
That's all they are.
So their own mission is not what they proclaim it to be. You see?
Absolutely. No, it's all fraud. And unfortunately, a lot of the good Jewish people that went to Israel that bought the line that come back to your homeland, it's great. And a lot of them are finding out it's not great. And from what I understand, it's not even easy to leave.
Yeah.
So that tells me, Don, that they were set up to get all corralled into one spot. Because as originally as a people that God was trying to work with thousands of years ago, that at one time they were blessed people that God really went out of his way to do a lot with because of a certain bloodline that ultimately the Messiah was going to be born through. And that's what it really was all about. The bloodline to secure the incarnation of the Holy Son of God, Jesus the Christ, the King of the Angels. That's all it was really about. But nonetheless, because of that, the fallen angels and the enemy of God had to prevent that because they don't want God to succeed with his plans of restoring his creation back to perfection and taking it out of the hands of the fallen angels and also judging the fallen angels once and for all and cutting off the Son of God from incarnating to fulfill the mission of restoration of creation. And so they did everything they could to stop it. And at the same time, they will hate everything that God loves. And so now, even thousands of years later, even though they're not God's chosen people anymore, the real chosen people today are all true Christians that honor the Holy Son of God and follow his way. They are now the new chosen people, the new Israelites.
Yeah.
And but nonetheless, the fallen angels will try to destroy the old Israelites and the new Israelites, because they'll hate everything, as well as all of God's creation. They hate everything that God loves. And so it makes sense that I could see them now. They suckered them all into one location, one little small area, the land of modern-day Israel. Easy to drop a nuclear bomb there and wipe them all out. And if that's not what they plan on doing, then why is the war in the Middle East escalating? By the Israelis themselves. Well, they're the ones escalating.
They've been going on for thousands of years, too. So this is nothing new. Well, that's Michael, right. We're about out of time. I was going to play something on a light side, but following up on what you just said, I'm going to play a song. I had a number of requests to play this again. I played it on last night's show, Lucinda Drayton's version of her song, 100,000 Angels.
all it takes to realize there's 100,000 angels by your side. There's
100,000 angels. Sort of says it all, doesn't it, Michael?
I would say it does, Don. Nice way to wrap it up.
Closing comment before we say goodnight. Got 30
well,
seconds.
Well, Don, I would just say thank you for having me back on. It's always great. And this is where we have to keep our minds focused and our hearts on the good Lord and the angelic activity. One of my favorite teachings of the Lord is, and it's not in the Bible, it's not easy to gaze at the heavens when all men can only gaze at the ground. It's not easy to worship at the feet of angels when all men can only worship fame and riches. But most difficult of all is to think the thoughts of angels, speak the words of angels, and to do as angels do.
That was very nice. Michael Anthony, I want to thank you for being on the show. Those of you who are interested in Michael's products, go to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on sponsors, click on Michael Anthony's private stock, and Michael's information is there. If you want to contact him, spend some time there, read up on his products, and he'll take the time to tell you all about it. Michael, I want to thank you, and I look forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints.
Thank you very much, Don. God bless.
Okay, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's special guest, Michael Anthony. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com, Don Newsom on the sound tonight at BBS Radio. Also, I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night. My special guests will be former U.S. Marine and current talk show host Drew Malone Raines III, and we have a special guest with us, Dr. Gay Larned. Those of you who are or were at one time in the U.S. military, you're going to want to tune in to tomorrow's show. We've got some important information for you if you haven't heard it already. In the meantime, I want to wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.